forgiven, because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned, I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me, because you died and arose again. I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted.
You were condemned. I'm alive and well.
Your spirit is within me, because you died and arose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that my King would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. And all I do, I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and arose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. And all I do, I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and arose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. And all I do, I honor you. There is a place I read about in God's holy word. It's built upon the mountainside, the New Jerusalem. The walls around that city are in layers of pure jewel. 12 gates along the walls, and every one a single pearl. The glory of that city would blind a human eye. More glory. throne, and joined the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Inside the city walls, I'm told, are mansions of pure gold, where debt is vanished or
old time will nevermore grow old.
We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lamb. All worries will be gone and every pain be left behind. The glory of that city would blind the human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. In garments pure and white as snow will gather round the throne and join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Inside the city walls, I'm told, are mansions of pure gold, where death is vanished for all time, will nevermore grow old. We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lamb. Our worries will be gone and every pain be left behind. The glory of that city would blind the human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. In garments pure and white as snow will gather round the throne and join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. The glory of that city would blind the human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. In garments pure and white as snow will gather round the throne and join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. In the meantime, we just got to hold on to the things that we've been taught. We just got to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. It's our job description. We can't convert the world. We just got to stand on the things that has been taught. That's all our job is. Hold on to the things you've been taught. Expose the unfruitful works of darkness. We got a full plate, but it's easy when you know that you don't have to go out there and convert the world and build a big hospital and stuff like that. Our job is laid out for us. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds, not made with haze. Oh, won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps and glory land. When burdens come so hard to bear, that no earthly friend can share. Tears run away to smiles and leave my heart in pain. Then my Lord from heaven above speaks to me in tones of love, wipes the tears away and makes me smile again. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds, not made with rain. Oh, won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harp and glory land. Oh, the thought to me is sweet, that my loved ones I shall meet at the ending of the journey here below. Seems I hear their voices blend, and a world without an end. I don't worry when the time shall come to go. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I should go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Oh, won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. When Jesus comes to claim his own, I will move to my new home. I'll walk and talk with him upon the streets of gold. A mansion there is waiting me, soon as beauty I will see. And that city where we never shall grow old. I need a mansion here below, where Jesus said that I should go, to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Oh, won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I should go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Oh, won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory lane. Oh, Herr Jesus, du bist wert, dass man dich in Staunen hält, dass man dich beständig lobt und nennt. Niemand ist so gut wie du, meine Seele jaspert zu, meine Seele jaspert dir freudig zu. Von der Erde reiß mich los, meinen Glauben grob, gib mir einen freien Sinn, nehm mich ganz mein Jesus hin. Deine Hand hat mich gemacht, wunderbar ans Licht gebracht, wunderbar ans helle Licht gebracht. Und dein Blut hat mich erlöst, dass ich ewig sei getrennt, dass ich nun auf ewig sei getrennt. Von der Erde reiß mich los, bei meinen Glauben groß, gib mir einen treuen Sinn, nehm ich ganz mein Jesus hin. Du drei blickest du mir an, sag's mir, dass ich kommen kann. Sag's mir, dass ich zu dir kommen kann. Und dein Blut hat mich erneut. Du denkst an deiner Huld. Nichts gedenkst nach deiner Gnadenbrut. Von der Erde reiß mich los. Meinen Glauben groß. Gib mir einen treuen Sinn, nehm ich ganz mein Jesus hin.
Yesterday we were saying, it's all about Jesus. But to a lot of people, Jesus can be anything. So we want to put it up a notch or two. Because Jesus said, God does not judge nobody. He has given the judgment over to the Son. And Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you either. The words that I speak are going to judge you on that day. So it's all about the word. You know, it's all about that word that you and I, we're trying our level best to live by the word. That's why we were not compatible in that compound, because we would always bump into the word, because it's not compatible with that Hutterite system or any of these religions out there. Wherever I went through, it was always not compatible with the word of God when it came right down to it. Your religious system there, it's just a tradition. And then, yeah, you can be brainwashed into thinking that's it, but if you have any class, and if you have any interest in the things of God, and you're driven by the word, and then you can allow yourself to be brainwashed. But see, you and I, we're of a different caliber. We don't allow ourselves to be brainwashed. That's why we didn't fit into that system. And like I say, God, to a lot of people, God can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then to a lot of people, Jesus can be anything. Oh, I love Jesus and all that. But see, it's all about the word. The word, it's right in your face. You can't manipulate the word. And God has put his word above his very name. There you have it again, you know. Over in Psalm, God has established his word above his name. God is accountable to the word of God. That's why he can't change nothing. You got to go to the scriptures. And even though God might have wanted to save Jesus, but it says in the word, he's going to have to be crucified. So that's... You can't manipulate the word. And that's what I'm trying to say. I just kind of take it up a notch or two. It's all about the word. And you and I, that, like I say, that's what we have trained ourselves. That's why the Lord woke us up to read the word, to saturate ourselves with the word. And if you're saturated with the word, nothing else matters, because you're going to bump into things that's not scriptural, and then you're going to have to make a decision. What am I going to do with this? Well... Something has to give. Either you allow yourself to be brainwashed, and you allow yourself to be, you leave the word of God lay there, and you just follow that tradition, and whatever religion you're in, because it's not compatible with the word of God. Like I say, somewhere along the road, you're going to bump right into it, and it's what you want to just continue to lift up the word of God, because it's God, like I say. God has put this word above his very name. Lord, just want to just continue, Lord, to give you thanks for the many things you do for us, Lord. Just praise and worship you, Lord, spirit and truth. Just continue on with the journey. Help us, Lord, to continue with the things that you've given us to see, and to hold on to the things that we do see, Lord. And just, you know, you give us a job, you give us a commission to hold on to the things that we've been taught. Just to continue with that word, Lord, and just the things that you've allowed us to see and hear in these closing days of time, that you sent a prophet, and on the heels of him you sent an apostle, and then you're looking for somebody you could trust to continue on with the program and to hold on to the things that have been established here in these closing days of time through that angelic, through that one of those seven stars that you held in your right hand there, and the book of Revelation, which all we're doing, Lord, we're just holding on to the fort, holding on to the things that you've been taught. We just pray, just give us the grace to continue on, not to slack and not to stop and not to look around over the circumstances. It doesn't matter how many people believe it or don't believe it. We have a job to do, Lord, and we just ask for grace to continue on this path, Lord. And we just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
A word have I put in my heart that I don't sin against you. That's what keeps us going, it's that word. And like I say, there's a lot of things I'd like to do according to the flesh, but that word prevents us from going down that path. We just the way it is, just the way our makeup is. I told this one guy, if you read a word like I read a word, you're going to end up exactly where I'm at. And this other guy, he wanted to ask me a question, what I'm about. I just told him, if you have such a hunger and a thirst for the word of God as I have, you're going to end up exactly where I'm at. And that's what we find out as we walk down this road and on this path. People just have no hunger, no thirst. They just they're not real. They're just playing the game. They're not serious with the Word of God. And then they, along the road of life, they bump into things and they start manipulating, and then eventually they end up with a religious system. Just create something, a detour, a bypass. And they take bits and pieces out of the scripture. Oh, it says here you should all think and count. That's what you have to do. But they don't see, they don't read the full context of it. It says those that believed, they had fellowship with one another. They had all things common. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to share your house with everybody. It just means your belief structure is the same. They had the same. They saw eye to eye when it came to the scriptures. And, everybody still had their own house because the disciples, they went from house to house to break the bread. But they had the same thought pattern. They had the same belief structure. And then it's just that simple. And we're just trying to bring everything out of the chaos, out of the darkness, put it out there in the light for people to see. Then you can go check us out via the scripture. If you don't agree with us, well, that's your problem. All you got to do is go check it out with the scripture, see if these things be not so. And that's what we're doing. They didn't live in a commune, Paul, the Apostle Paul, and put all their resources together. No, they each had their house. It says those that had houses, they had seven houses, or five houses, or three houses. So they sold some of them, and then they kept one for themselves, because they had to have a place to live. But he got this old Satan, he twists everything. He takes a little bit of scripture out of something, and then he makes his own religious ideology. Like I said, these all come, they had all things come. Then they run by the thousands all over the world to start up a commune. The only way you could have all things, you got to live in the commune. And they're not talking about material. That they had the same belief structure. Just like you and I, we got the same belief structure. And if eventually you have the same belief structure, then eventually you automatically will take care of one another, like you and I. We got the same belief structure, so we really don't. So we look after each other. But if you don't have the same belief structure, we got people coming through here. They like to jump on the bandwagon, but they don't have the belief structure. They believe the earth is flat. Well, we don't believe that the earth is flat. We believe the earth is round. And they think, come on with these stupid ideas, and then they want to have communion with us. They want to have fellowship with us. Well, we don't have fellowship with people that believe the earth is flat. And all these different ones, they come through here. We just don't. You got to have your belief structure right. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's right. And when God allows you to see what these systems of religions are, and why they have become the way they are, and He brings you out into the light, and then when you have to take a stand, like you can't compromise. And there's a lot of people that they take a stand. But when the journey gets tough, they start to compromise. And then their whole journey becomes obsolete, because you're no longer standing for something. See, we know we're standing for something. We're standing for what has been lost in the dark ages. And when God brought it all out and restored it, we know what we have, and we have something to hold on to. We have something to take a stand on. And whenever I think of people that compromise, then you think about all the people that have suffered through the ages of time, through going to the dark ages, living through the dark ages, those people that were oppressed by their religious system of Roman Catholicism, how they had to do penance, and they had to give their last penny to these popes in order for them to do their dogmas and their creeds and their catechisms. And you see how people have suffered through these religious systems over time. And you realize what God has brought you to, and what God has restored in your day and hour. And then when you think about these people back there, it's actually a shame to actually compromise and to give up what God has done in this hour, because you're really hurting all these people that have suffered through these systems, that have gone through so much in trying to find out why they're being oppressed like that. And you go through the dark ages, how Roman Catholicism took away everything, and then you go through all these systems, these denominational systems, how people sit in these systems and they don't know what's going on and why they're feeling like they do, because they're being deceived. And God has allowed us to see these things, and we are taking a stand against that corruption, against those unfruitful works of darkness, so that people who go through the same things, that they have something to look towards. They have a light that's going to guide them. Just like the Word of God has been our light. We have seen things in the Word of God, and therefore and God allowed us to see these things, and we're holding on to these things because those are those pearls that of great price. And when you let go of those pearls of great price, what hope is there for people? I was thinking the other day about what Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? There was nothing left of her. And that's what happens to people that compromise. It's they look back, and then their life is not worth anything anymore. And there's a lot of people that we know that they've compromised, and then there's they die or something happens to them. It's because what God has no more purpose for that person to work with that individual.
I got up this morning, the scripture came to me in German. I don't know how it says in English, but it's more or less like, when that turns back, my soul will have no desire in that person. And it's the same thing if you don't move ahead. See, in this journey, you can't be neutral. You either move ahead or you're going to slip backwards. Because I remember that John Stahl, he was in the message of Brother Branham. He's in that church out at Cloverdale, by the way. And I spent a lot of time with him, stayed at his house. I worked with him up there. But then the Lord brought me to the ministry of Brother Jackson. And then what I did, I took that chart to count down his own, and I put it on the church pegboard there. You know, you got something that's worth reading, you put it on the pegboard. So I put that chart on. Little did I know that to them, Brother Jack is a blackbird. It's a no-no. It's like a red flag before a bull. When I put that on the chart, he came and asked, did you put that chart on that pegboard there in the church? I says, yeah. He wasn't very pleased with me anyway. See, he refused to move on. There comes a time when you got to move on. You get stagnant and stale, and I tried to bend over backwards to let him know, hey, there's a little bit something more. When Brother Brenham went off the scene, God used Brother Jack, and I tried to bend over backwards to tell him, and no matter what I would do, no matter what I would say, he refused to move on, and then eventually he just disintegrated. And he lost his daughter, and simply because he refused to move on. And like I say, if you don't move on, you're going to go back. Well, up by it, and then, but mine is sailing kind, holy father. To him that turns back, like I say, if you're not moving ahead, you constantly have to move ahead, because God is always moving ahead. And if you don't move with God, then you're going to slip back from your old pattern and your old thing. That's why you and I, we have such a hard time to convince people, because we're moving ahead. We do something new every day, and we just got to stay the course, because we do not want to slip back. And if you stand, you're going to slip back and to become, like the Bible says, if God had not given us this here truth, this word, we would all have become a bunch of sodomites. That's what the Bible says. As time goes on, this whole world would evolve into a sodomite lifestyle simply because they refuse to move on, because God has given us the word. He's given us the ministry of Brother Branham, and people that don't believe that, well, go look at their lifestyle and go look at what they're getting involved in, all kinds of pedophilia, simply because they cannot accept the message for your day. And then from there on, you go into the ministry of Brother Branham. And then there again, if you haven't moved on from Brother Branham into the ministry of Brother Jackson, you'll just slip back, go back into the world or whatever. You're not moving ahead. And then from there, when Brother Jackson left the scene, all these Jacksonites, all these people that are sitting under the Brother Jackson umbrella, you watch and you observe. See, you and I, we observe a lot of things. We know what's going on. So we sit back and we observe it, and we see how people, they just come up with these strange teachings because they're not moving ahead. Now, God was looking for somebody that he can trust to move on with the program. And then he gave you and I the midnight cry. And once you have a revelation of the midnight cry, you know exactly right down to the day it's all pegged out. And the book of Revelation, like once you know that in February 28, 1963 was the middle of Laodicea, and all you got to do is got to sit back and do the math, do the calculations. You know that 1906 was the beginning of Laodicea, and all hinges on the revelation of Laodicea. What is Laodicea? Laodicea is the seventh church age. It's the seventh, and then we have a seventh church age messenger. That's and the days of the void of the seventh church age messenger, of the seventh angel. These were just the voices. And we tried them our level best to keep things in line, to keep things where they make sense. Everything has to make common sense. And then here we got the voice of that seventh angel, the voice of Brother Branham. And like I say, the time that we're living in is so crucial that God will not allow a gap in between. So he moved on to, he prepared Brother Jackson to continue on with the program. All that angel did, he took the vocal course of Brother Jackson and he continued on with the program. But in 2004 December, he passed away, and then God was looking for somebody that he can trust to continue on with the program. That's not going to twist it and try to think and manipulate it, trying to think they can do better than Brother Jackson. We've run into these characters. And then they end up with nothing. They end up, the devil comes in and robs what they have. Because it says, that which he thinks he has will be taken from him and given to somebody that does have. See, you and I, we don't want to fall into that category. We just working overtime to try to stay the course and find out what God, what have you done? What have you given us? What's our obligation? What's our responsibility? Simply to hold on to the truth, because we're not preaching. We're just holding on to the things that have been preached and have been taught. And that's our job description. Mm-hmm. And we do it gladly because we have no other job description than to hold on to the truth. And then we have to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And then, like I say, if we just continue on, God keeps giving and giving until our hunger satisfies. And then he gives us the revelation of that midnight cry. The whole end time hinges on what happened in October and February the 20th, 1963, up in Sabino Canyon. There when that cloud was up in the sky, everything in the whole end time hinges on that very scripture. At midnight, there was a cry. Once you get the revelation, you can see everything so crystal clear, right down to the day, right when that seventh seal was opened, right when the restoration of all things began, was October the 15th, 2021. And now Jesus Christ is down here. He's no more than a high priest. He's now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Once you know that from the bottom of your heart, once you get a revelation of that, you can put the rest together, because we were given a certain amount of brains to go back to the scripture and figure these things out. And we got it right down to the day we're living now. We could give you right to the day when that angel comes down and ties up Satan and throws him into hell, because it's all mapped out for us. All you got to do is follow the program, follow the pattern. That came a day when God began to restore Israel, when the grace age is over, that was accepted October the 15th, 2021, and you can go beat the drums together. You can go out there and try to prove us wrong, or the prophet said this, the prophet said that, Brother Jackson never said that, is that, and the other, and try to prove us wrong. But you're going to find out, try to prove us, it's not going to work, because you can't prove us wrong with the wording. We got the word. We got the revelation of the midnight cry. We know that in October the 15th, 2021, that's when Jesus went out to see the earth and took on his kingly role, and now he's restoring all things, and before the millennium is over, everything will be back to where it was exactly before Adam and Eve fell. I saw Eve before she fell. The Lord gave me a vision. He can take you back in time, and when Eve, before she fell, she was co-equal with man. A lot of people wonder why you're speaking the way you're speaking. Because they convinced themselves the Bible says that no woman shall speak in church. Well, they don't realize that we're living now at a time and a time frame where the restoration of all things is in, and the woman was going to go back exactly where she was before the fall, because she only became second fiddle after she fell into Satan's trap. But that thing is going to be restored, everything, by the time the Lord Jesus hands that kingdom back to his heavenly Father. Everything will be restored back to it was the way before Satan came and deceived Adam and Eve. And you're going to have a wonderful, you have a beautiful utopia. That's that utopia that everybody's looking for. That's what we're all heading for. But right in the meantime, God is beginning to restore all things. That's why he's put you in co-equal. You know a lot more about the scriptures than I do many times. Many times I got to ask you this, that, and the other, because you're now beginning to restore all things. He is beginning to put the woman back into equal footing with the man. It's no more as it was back throughout the ages. And that's why we're so excited about what's coming here, because we're in the process of restoring all things. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That scripture is in Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Well, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that, like I say, if you're not moving ahead, you're gonna you're gonna disappoint God, mm-hmm. because God is always moving. And when you go, mm-hmm. see, Lou and I, we see biblical history. We go right back to Ephesians 1, where God, a great eternal spirit, had himself a council. He made a blueprint. And then as time went on, he longed for family. He wanted somebody that he could share himself with, all his attributes, mm-hmm. all his qualifications. He had it inside of himself, but he had nothing and nobody to share it with. So he started making setback and had himself a blueprint, made a plan how he was going to do that. And then the first thing he did, he created angels, and these angels, they were tested and created way back before the dawning of time. Every angel that ever was, ever will be, was created before the dawning of time. And then when he was done with these angels, he was Lucifer. He was the last angel that God created just before the dawning of time. And I can prove everything that we say here. We could prove it with the Bible, because that's all we did all our life. We read the Bible, and that's why I say we can agree with a lot of these systems out here, these cults, because we've read the Bible all our life, and eventually, if you keep reading the Bible, you're going to bump into things that's not compatible mm-hmm. to the Word of God. That's why we don't go along with these religions, with these cults. And the way you can tell if it's a cult, what they do, the first thing they do, they put a head covering on the woman, these cults. Go look at these Amish people, go and look at these Muslims, what they do. Look at the Catholic, what they do with their women. They put a head covering on it. Because back in the scriptures, it says something about the woman should put something on her head. Well, the reason it's there, you got to go back into history, and you got to find out why is it worded like that. Because if we go back into society and the Corinthian now, where the women, everything was so degraded that the women would shave off their head. That was the way the custom was, and the society back in the day. And what the women did, they just shaved their heads off, and then they got converted to Christianity, and then they came into church with their shaven heads. And then Paul, it was a It was a pain in his eyes to watch them, so he told him, just go put something on your head until your hair is be grown out, and then he ends up with the chapter. You can go read it yourself, and you can go and observe it. He said, at the end of the day, your hair had been given to you as a covering. Now, all you have to have, you have to have your hair. You don't put down a head covering on your head, because back there it says, see, that's what the devil does. He tries to make a religion out of everything, and then he tries to put it on, having a hard time for the women. That's the first thing the devil does. He hates women, and what he does, he eventually covers them up, just like over these Muslims, with that Sharia law, with that hijab, that you can't even see, all you can see looking out is their eyes. And that's the way the devil does. That's how you can tell that it's a cult. Same with the Hadra. They got this head covered. They might as well just take it off. That's what the devil does. He puts the sun covering on that. Yeah, that's when he sees a little bit of stuff in the scripture, and then he makes a religion out of it. Like, as all things come, all of a sudden, here these communes, they pop up all over the world. Simply because all things come. The way you can show true love to your brother and your sister, you've got to have live in the commune. All things come where everybody looks after another. All you're doing there, you're creating a socialistic, communistic system where these drunk, these lazy people, they can get by with doing nothing. And that's all that commune style living is all about.
That's right. And I read something here in Psalms. Psalm 73, starting verse 11. The wicked say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? Behold, these are the wicked, always carefree as they increase their wealth. And that's how some people go around life. They're always carefree. They just think that everything is good. And then he continues to say, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In innocence, I have washed my hands. And you could say, like he's basically saying, I've done all, like, tried to live upright and stand for something in vain. If people just go along the road of life and everything is just hunky-dory, and I'm trying to take a stand here, and they have it better than I do. He says, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In innocence I have washed my hands. For I am afflicted all day long and punished every morning. He had to go through a lot to, when you believe in God and walk in His ways and His precept and His principles, he was afflicted and punished. If I had said I will speak this way, then I would have betrayed your children. But he said, if I would speak that way, then I would betray your children and all the people that have been afflicted because of and persecuted because of righteousness and the things of God. If you say that, you know, like, am I doing this in vain? We're not doing what we're doing in vain. Because we know the end result of these things. And he says, when I tried to understand all this, I was troublesome in my sight until I entered God's sanctuary. Then I discerned their end. And he was able to see, God allowed him to see their end. Mm-hmm. And the same way with us, when we talk about these unfruitful works of darkness, we know their end. Mm-hmm. And we know when we continue to fight and take a stand for the things that are right and for what God has allowed us to see, in the end we'll have a reward if we endure to the end.
Like I told you before about that John Stoll, I spent a lot of time with him, and I bent over backward to try to get him to move on. There's another chapter, there's another dimension, there's God is almost moving on, and see, he refused to listen. Mm-hmm. He refused to take note, and then what happened? His daughter died, and then eventually he got Alzheimer's, and all these curses that the Bible talks about back when God told Moses, if you walk in my ways, if you more or less, if you continue with me, none of these diseases will come on you. And we got the proof of the body. Here he died here a couple of months ago, and what was his record? I tried to talk to his son. and they got so furious simply because I tried to talk to them, because they know exactly what's going on. I've told that John Stahl over the years that he's missing it, and he got to move on and move ahead with Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And there's a, and he refused to move on. Now he's got nothing. Everything that he ever worked for, everything he ever tried to do, it's all by the wayside simply because he refused to move on. That's why you and I, we're doing everything we can to move on. We got our eyes open and then our ears unstopped, and we're just waiting on the Lord to tell us to move ahead. There's something else. There's something more. There's always something more. Like I said, back when God had himself, that counts. That stream started flowing, and they began to create angels. And then when the, over in Job 38, you could read it. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world, and the sons of God shouted for joy, and the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, because now God is creating the planet, he's creating that universe, and there they watched that light show, and then moved on. He tested these angels with that planet, and that's why I keep saying, this planet, all of this is a laboratory to see if you and I are going to be found faithful to continue on with the program. It's always one long stream. That's why the things that you and I say and do, they're not compatible for the people that just want to sit there. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine all your life being locked up in a compound when the Lord has given all the freedom and the liberty and all the things to enjoy, the mountains and the canyons, everything to enjoy in this world. And here we're locked up in the compound, can't even move, can't even navigate. And see the God, rich in mercy, he opened up our eyes and we get to see things. And we had to pray our way out of that compound. That's and eventually right. The Lord set us on solid footing. And here we're doing the only thing we know to do. We're telling the people all around the world what's going on in the closing days of time. Mm-hmm. We tell them exactly, right down to the day. We can, you can go figure it out yourself. October the 15th, 2021. That's when that countdown for 7 years began, because the Bible is so specifically crystal clear, 1,260 days to the middle of the week, and then 42 months to the end of the week, and that's the end of Satan's 2,000-year reign. Just that simple, because he's only been given a certain amount of time. He's given 6 days, he's given 6,000 years, and his reign runs out here 2028, sometime in December. I can get it right down to the day, because we got it 1,260 days and then 42 months, and that's the end of Satan. That's the end of Satan's reign. Then he gets thrown into hell, and then Jesus comes and he sets up the day of the Lord, and eventually sets up the kingdom reign, and by where the lion and the lamb, they walk together. And that's what we keep singing this song. That's why we got such much hope for what's coming up the road. But in the meantime, I keep saying over and over, but in the meantime, we just got to do what we got to do. No, it doesn't matter if nobody agrees with us. It even doesn't matter if nobody listens to us, because we're just doing what the Lord has honed us out to do. We're trying our level best to be faithful. Somewhere along the road of life, somebody will pick it up and he'll get it sort of, and he'll believe what we're trying to say, because he said, God's going to send a hunger and a thirst to the land. Not for bread and water, but for the living word of God. And this is the only place where you will find the living word of God. And it's a, that's our hope. That's why we're unrelenting. That's why we're unstoppable. That's why we're doing what we're doing here on a day-to-day basis. Because up the road, God's going to make it happen. It doesn't matter what we say. We're just following the Lord, and up the road, as Scripture is going to be fulfilled. Right now, when people, we talk about things, the first thing they throw at you, oh, no man knows the day or the hour. No, no man knows the day or the hour of the rapture, but we know the day or the hour when these 6 days expire for Satan. Right. We know when these 7 days expire, that week of Daniel is on right now, the restoration of all things. We can just go into the Scriptures, because God has put this word above his name, and so have we, because, like I said earlier, Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you. The Father has given all judgment over to the Son. And then Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you either. The words that I speak are going to judge you on that day. And that's what we go by. We go via the Word. And we saw that midnight cry. We saw that that week of Daniel. Mm-hmm. And you went back and you stubborned it out when that angel came to back in the days of Nehemiah and or somebody back there, there's 70 weeks, oh, it's Daniel, there's 70 weeks allotted to your people from the day when they began building those walls back mm-hmm. in Jerusalem. And you came down and you calculated it yourself. And you came out right at the crucifixion. There were 69 weeks culminated exactly when that angel told Daniel, 70 weeks are allotted to your people. Like I say, the crucifixion, 69 weeks right to the day, mm-hmm. right to the minute, right there when Jesus said it's finished, it culminated, and then the grave, that 70-69 was shut down, but then God just moved it ahead for 2,000 years, the grave age, and then that time started kicking. October the 15th, 2021, that time clock began to tick again for the 70th week of Daniel. Now there's 1 week left, and now here we are, very ticking away. And at the end of those 7 years, there will be no more Satan.
That's right.
Scripture will be fulfilled.
Yeah, and you can see a lot of things starting to happen. Like you can see that Babylon is coming down. Mm-hmm. See that global mechanism. That the global apparatus, that thing is coming down.
Mm-hmm.
In the millennium, there is not going to be no globalism, no world order and stuff like that. There is going to be nationalism. People in their sovereign country, because you can see how God words things in the book of when a nation does not come up to Jerusalem to pay their respects to the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll have a famine. Mm-hmm. If the next year they don't come, they'll have a pestilence.
Mm-hmm.
And these things, it specifically mentions Egypt. And that's how you can see that there's going to be individual countries. And that's the good thing about Trump. He's actually behind the Trump with his tariffs. The Spirit of God is doing something and is creating people to have a pride for their country
mm-hmm.
and start to work as a country instead of this globalism that has been going on. See, this globalism is all part of Babylon
mm-hmm.
and that Babylon is coming down. So that's why you will see people rising up and being more proud of their country and starting to see how they can work for their country instead of this global regime.
Yeah, it's on the way out. Mm-hmm. United Nations is about to collapse mm-hmm. and things like that. See, we just sit back and we observe things. You learn a lot more by observing than by going out and there shooting off your mouth talking about things you got. You don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. We sit back and we see what's going on all around the world. Like you see how that Babylon is falling. And in 7 years from October the 15th, 2021, there will be no more of Satan's Babylon. There will be no more of that globalist stuff. It's just going to disintegrate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we give you thanks, Lord, for your word, Lord, how you've opened up our understanding, and there's things in your word that you've allowed us to see. And you brought us to where we are today. So we're just telling people, Lord, the day and hour we're living in, because you have established that in our heart through your word. And you brought us to the righteousness, the ministry of our day and hour, so that we can know where we are living at in time. And that your coming is drawing nearer every day, Lord, because you've allowed us to see that midnight cry in the time we're living in. And then the grace age ended, and we're in the week of Daniel, the restoring of all things, Lord. And then it comes to that millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ after that. So we give you thanks, Lord, and we're just trying to help people see that we're standing for something, Lord. We're not just saying these things, Lord, but we know what you've allowed us to see, and we're standing on what you've allowed us to see, Lord. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.